Several years ago, when I was first got into ministry, I was going to go fill a pulpit somewhere, and the pastor who was a senior pastor at the church that I was at, I was an associate pastor, said, there's only one big, do I need to stand in a specific place because of this? Am I good? How far can I go? Just do my thing? Because I may be up there before we're done. And he said, you know, I really only got one rule of thumb or one piece of advice for you, and that is never speak for a shorter amount of time than the pastor at that church speaks. So if the pastor at that church normally preaches for 30 minutes, you need to go at least 30, if not more, you know, because then the expectation the next week, if you go shorter from the congregation, is that the other pastor's too long, and you got all that problem. And so I watch him online. He doesn't know that, but I watch him online pretty, I haven't missed very many weeks, pretty much every week. And so I know how long he talks. So if you need a nap at any point, I'm just saying feel free, because I'm thinking I get an hour and 15 minutes at least. And so I'm just going to talk until I'm tired of hearing myself. And you all are just going to need to buckle up for the ride. Duncan, come on in. Have a seat, bro. Love you, man. It's good to see people. Pastor Tim, thank you so much. I always enjoy speaking out here and being out here. And I've seen some faces I haven't seen in a while. And so it's good to see some people. In 1970, I know you're thinking he's probably not that old, but he is. In 1970, my mom and dad, actually my dad, bought, in late 1970, he bought a Chevrolet Kingswood Estate station wagon. 9-passenger station wagon. Not going to lie, I wish I had that vehicle today. And I have a twin brother. I've got a brother that's a couple years older and a sister that's a few years older than that. So there were four of us children. So it worked out good. Mom and Dad sat in the front. Alan and Denise, the two older ones, we always did everything by age for whatever reason. So Alan and Denise were in the next seat. And then Tim and I were in the back seat. That was the one that faced backwards. And the big advantage to that was when we wanted to make fun of Mom and Dad, they couldn't see us as long as we were quiet enough. You know, we could make faces at them and everything, and then we're looking out the back window. And the bad part about this is we don't get to see where we're going. We only get to see where we've been, right? In 1971, on July 1st, Mom and Dad loaded up that 1970 Kingswood Estate station wagon with four children and a bunch of luggage strapped to the top, and we took a road trip to Canada. To my Uncle Lynn's, my mother's Uncle Lynn's, it's been my great Uncle Lynn's. And we drove up to Canada. He had an island. Hey, who owns an island? Yeah, well, my great Uncle Lynn did. We went up to an island that had actually two cabins on it and stayed for about a week or so. I don't remember. I was 8, 9 years old when that happened. I don't remember that part of it, how long we stayed. But I do remember this very vividly. I was talking to my sister about this week. And we got into Michigan, and we got up toward the Upper Peninsula, and we decided to stop and have a picnic lunch this particular day. And so we're sitting, and I don't really remember the specifics of that. We're sitting at presumably a picnic table, and we're eating a lunch and everything. And out in the distance was this bridge. Now, I'm kind of fascinated by bridges. I was even back then, and so it caught my attention right away. It was kind of a foggy. There was kind of some fog or maybe some mist coming off the water. I don't really remember exactly what it was. But out off the land and over the water rose this majestic bridge. And that bridge is called the Mackinac Bridge. Who knows what that bridge is, right? It connects the upper and lower peninsula of Michigan, right? And I'm looking at that bridge thinking, man, that looks cool. That looks cool. A few minutes later, my sister says to my mom, okay, so which way are we going from here? And my mother says, I'm not sure, but I know I'm not going that way. She was terrified of bridges. So my dad, I'm sure, got a big kick out of the fact that he was able to tell my mother that, yes, in fact, you are going that way. And we are going over that bridge. And one of the very few times when my mom kind of stood up to my dad, it was just that situation in my house, and we're not going to talk about that any further than that. But she stood up, all 4'11" of her, she stood up and got in dad's face. He didn't have to stand up for that to happen. She stood up and got in Dad's face, and she said, I am not going over that bridge. You can take me back home now. I'm scared to death. We are going to die. I'm not kidding. I verified this with my sister. She's 6 years older than I am, so she remembers a little more about that trip than I do. I verified this with my sister. She said, we are going to die if we go over that bridge. This morning, I want to talk about, for a few minutes, I want to talk about a subject that is near and dear to my heart. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. If you don't have your Bible or you don't have a device that you can see the Bible on, I understand that the scripture's probably going to be up there. However, really, just get your Bible or get your phone out or your iPad or stand on, you know, sit on your neighbor's shoulders and look over their shoulder and read their Bible or whatever you have to do. I'm pretty passionate about that too. Don't take my word for it. Don't take the screen's word for it. Take God's word for it. Isaiah chapter 43, and we are going to start in verse 16. Thus says the Lord who makes, I need a large print Bible. I've gotten to that age. Thus says the Lord who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Skip down to verse 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things that I did. Behold, I will do a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. We're going to unpack this here in just a second. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And he says, I'm going to make a new thing. So I want us to put some stuff together today, right, in the scriptures that I'm going to go to. So here's what God is saying in this scripture. I am going to make a way for you to go. I'm going to make a path for you to go on that you have never imagined. I can put a road in a wilderness. I can put a river in a desert. It's been to the desert out west or southwest, right? After you drive in the desert for about, oh, I don't know, on a horse with no name, you knew I was going to do that, right? After you, if you're not that old, you don't understand that, but Google it, right? After you've drove in the desert for, I don't know, about 2 hours, you just would love to nothing more than to see water, right? And here's what God's saying. I am going to make a way for you in a way that you probably would never expect and in a place that you could never imagine. And I want you to trust me with that way. I want you to cross that bridge. You know what was on the other side of that Mackinac Bridge? Eventually, a beautiful island all to ourselves. Clear Canada lake water, fishing and boating, and you know, for my little 8 or 9 year old mind, and probably would be in my little 58 or 9 year old mind by now, a paradise, if you will. That's what was on the other side of that terrifying bridge. God's saying that I'm going to make a way for you in a way that you couldn't have imagined and in a place that you couldn't have imagined. But I need you to do something for me, Tom. I need you to do something for me, church. I need you to do something for me, Christians. I need you to trust me. I need you to trust me that this way is a way that's going to be exciting for you and it's going to be new for you. Who likes new stuff? Let me ask you this. Let me ask the negative of that, right? Who dislike, you don't have to raise your hand because I know you're going to lie to me anyway. Who doesn't like change? Okay, now get that in your mind, right? All right, now if you don't like change, let me ask you this. Do you have the newest version of your smartphone? No? Do you use, you're not allowed to talk. You're on vacation. Duncan, get up here. I need to bounce her up here. Okay, do you have a smartphone? We'll just go there. Do you listen to music on a record player? Some of you might do because that's the big thing now. Do you listen to it on a cassette deck? Do you listen to it in an 8-track? No? No? Do you got your little CD Walkman attached to your side to skip, you know, every time you tried to walk with it? Do you have one of those things anymore? Right? Do you like air conditioning? How about indoor plumbing? How about a new car with an air conditioner that works? Boy, I was wishing my air conditioner worked in my truck yesterday. Hey, do you like all those things and you're okay with change? I'm just saying, you're okay with change. You want to lumber down the road in that 70 Kingswood Estate, or does your Traverse kind of sound kind of nicer because you got heated seats and you got power windows and you got hands-free talking, I hope. Although I spend a lot of time on the road, and it's very apparent to me that not very many people use the hands-free phone option in their vehicles, right? You like all that stuff, you like change. I like new stuff. One of the things I love to do when I get out on my motorcycle is find a road I've never been on and just take off and just see where it's going to end. But the fact of the matter is, most of us are resistive to some kind of change. Most of us are at least somewhat resistive to something new, something different, definitely something we're unsure of. My mother was unsure that we were going to make it over that bridge, right? But God says, I'm making a path for you, and every day I'm making something new for you. Are you willing? Do you trust God enough to follow that path? Because I promise you, listen, I promise you that whatever he has for you on that path, on that road, over that bridge, whatever metaphor you want to use, whatever he has for you, it will be exciting. Will it be easy? Yeah, probably not. Is life easy? No. If your life is easy, come to my house and I'm going to make it harder for you. I'm just going to just do that, right? No, it's not easy, right? God never promised easy. Did he promise Paul easy when he told Paul to go out and preach to the Gentiles and be an apostle to the Gentiles? Well, let's see. Paul was lashed and beaten and whipped and left for dead and stoned and thrown in prison and the whole nine yards. But would Paul tell you that his journey with the Lord after he became a believer was exciting? You can read it in his writing. You can read it in his epistles, even the prison epistles, even the letters he wrote from prison. In fact, this one thing I love about Paul is Paul wants to talk about Jesus, and he'll do it when he's shackled in prison. And I bet you Paul kind of looked around and thought, I got a guard over here that can't leave. I've got other prisoners over here that can't leave, and they've got guards that can't leave. I got a captive audience. You guys, if I get boring or you guys get tired, you can just leave, right? Those people couldn't. Paul says, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll preach the gospel. This is the road God gave me. I think I'm going to preach the gospel. Let's see if we can get some people converted. Here's my point. God says he's making a road for you. In a place where you never imagined, in a way you couldn't have imagined. But I need you to go down that road. And every day when you go down that road, every day, listen, not just on Sunday, not just when you feel like it. And look, I understand there's life and there's kids and there's work and there's problems and there's, you know, the Traverse that the hands-free option breaks down on, you know, and those. That was funny. Come on, guys, that was funny. Okay, all right. I get that, right? I get that. And I lost my train of thought, so we're just going to go to the book of Mark. And I think the biggest thing that prevents us from traveling down that road we're going to find in the book of Mark, and it's in chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 10. Let me get to it here. Boy, I hear them pages flipping. Oh, those are mine. Never mind. I got that wrote down because there's not 17 chapters in Mark. All right. So what did I give you? What do you got up there for Mark? No, that's not either. All right. So we're going to paraphrase because I'm not going to spend a bunch of time looking for it. Right. I think it's Mark 10 and verse 17. Let's see. I'm going to try that. And if not, I'm just going to move on. It's been a long week. No, it's not that either. All right. Here we go. So Jesus is somewhere in the Gospels. Trust me. In a couple of them, as a matter of fact. Jesus has an encounter with a rich young ruler. One gospel calls it the rich young ruler, and the other calls it the rich young man. It might be the same person. It might be two different accounts. I think it's probably the same person, though. right? And the guy says, this rich ruler says, what must I do to follow you? And Jesus says, well, keep the commands. Einhorn, you got it? Where are we at? Mark what? 10:17, I knew it. See? Yeah, I'm in Mark. That's Mark. That's 10. Okay. Now, he was going down the road, one coming. Man, I tell you what, I really do need a large print Bible, or I need to go to the eye doctor, one or the other. Now, he was going out on the road. One came running, knelt before him, and asked God, good teacher, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? Okay, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? And you understand, right, before we get started on this, that eternal life and eternal destination are two different things, right? Our eternal destination is heaven, but eternal life starts at the moment that you become a believer, right? And so that's a life dedicated to Christ, right? So we get that. We don't need to unpack that anymore. Everybody shake your head if you're following me a little bit on that, okay? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but the one that is God. You know the commandments. Here we go. Jesus is going to answer his question. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, now listen, that's an important part of this passage. Jesus loved him. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way and sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Okay? And so what happens is that the guy can't do it. He can't do it. He can't do it. And here's why he can't do it. Fear. Fear. Didn't Paul Paul told Timothy, right, that God hasn't given you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of what? Nobody? I knew you'd get it, but you can't talk. You're on vacation. But a spirit of power, right? So would power overcome fear, you think? I think so. I think probably. Power would definitely overcome fear, right? And so here's the concept with this gentleman who was unable to do that. It was fear of having to give up something that he perhaps felt like he deserved, definitely felt like he wanted. And I think the biggest reason that we're unwilling to follow this road, to follow this path, we're talking about more than just salvation. We're talking about a daily submission, a daily desire to do God's will, a daily desire to discover what God has for us for our lives. If you read Scripture at all, you understand that God's not boring, he's not mundane or anything like that. So once again, it's going to be something exciting. But we miss it. Sometimes we miss it because we just let life get in the way, right? We just get busy with other things. And I get it. Life's busy. That's not an excuse. We use that as an excuse. It is not an excuse, right? But here's what's going on with this guy. This guy was afraid to give up something that he had. Look, this is more than about giving up some money and helping people. This is more than that. This is about giving up whatever it is that is keeping you from a daily submission. Giving up from whatever it is that's keeping you from going over that bridge. For him, it happened to be his wealth. So what is it? I want to challenge you. This is a challenge, I guess, sermon. I suppose they all should be, but this is a challenge. So I want to challenge you to really look in the mirror, really consider what it is. Because look, we all fall short, right? We all fall short. And there's days when it's about 8, 9 o'clock and I'm ready to go to bed because I'm old, fat, and tired. And so by 9 o'clock, I'm ready to go to bed. And I think, man, I really haven't prayed today. I really haven't thought too much about what God wanted for me today. I went out and fixed a bunch of stuff, but I don't really, not sure what God wanted for me today. What is it? What is it that's keeping you from doing that? Is it the fear of losing something? Sometimes it's social status or place in our circle of friends, right? If they find out that, you know, well, you know, Jesus freaks, and so I just don't want them to know that because I want to be cool. I want to be with them, you know, so I just want to hang out, whatever, you know. Sometimes it is stuff. Sometimes it is stuff that we don't have to give up, that we don't want to have to give up. Sometimes it's our pride. Sometimes it's just that one thing, that one habit, that one thing, you know, and I know, you know, but Jesus ate with sinners, so it's okay if I do this, right? And so it may be that one thing. What is it? What is it? What is it on a daily basis that keeps you from going down that new road, from heading into that place that God has for you, especially for you, to head into that thing, that attitude, whatever it might be, that God wants for you and that God has for you. I would argue that if we all really opened up and we really let go and let God, right? I kind of hate those sayings like that, but I'm just saying it because I'm lazy and I can't think of anything else to say, right? Let go and let God, right? If we did, it would blow our minds what God would have for us. And I think way too many times we're perfectly satisfied with just a little bitty glimpse, just a little bitty peep of what God has for me today. I got a little bit of that. You know, and then we get like the rich young man because, you know, I didn't steal anything today. I was nice to my wife most of the time. Other than that, you know, one time I was nice to her. And, you know, I didn't swear and I didn't, you know, we get all this stuff going on, right? And we're missing the point. Jesus says to the rich young ruler, you're missing the point, bro. The reason that Jesus asked him about the commands to begin with is he wanted to see where the man's heart was. And the man's heart was there. And the man's heart was not, I want to submit to you. I want to do whatever it takes to have eternal life. Not whatever it takes to go to heaven. That's a good thing. But once again, let's not confuse eternal destination with eternal life and that concept, right? I want to do what I have to do so that I can have that eternal life, so that I can live that life inside of God. Look, if I continued to live my life based solely on Tom's decisions, well, hey, you got about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 hours after church, I'll tell you about, you know, I'll just go from age 19 to about 30 and tell you how that worked out on Tom's decisions, right? But I'm going to be honest and I'm going to be transparent. There's still too many times I operate based on Tom's decisions and not based on God's decisions. And Tom's not near as smart as God, and neither are you. And we can establish that, and we can accept that, and we can be plenty okay with that, and we can submit to that, or we can submit to that, or we can fight that. In the book of Luke, chapter 9 and verse 23. That's right next to the book of Mark if you're turning pages. And I do think I have this one wrote down, right? See, I need both hands, Tim. I can't talk without both hands. It occurred to me that I can't sing. I don't know what to do with my hands when I'm singing because I'm usually playing a guitar when I'm singing. And so I'm like, my hands are doing like, I don't even know what to do with them. When I'm seeing it occurred to me when we're doing worship. Great job, by the way, with the worship, you and your team. Appreciate that. The book of Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Listen, the purpose of the cross is what? Somebody blurt out other than Pastor Tim because he's on vacation. You guys aren't doing it like, there's no way I'm talking. It's like in class. You were the ones in class when the teacher asked a question, you all went like this. Like if I look down, they won't see me. And when I did some substitute teaching, that's the person I called on. The person that dropped their head, they're the ones that got called on, right? What was accomplished at the cross was the sacrifice for our sin, right? What was accomplished at the cross was, I mean, these are Sunday school answers. I know you know them. I know you don't want to say it. That's all right. What was accomplished at the cross is it provided us an access to God that we didn't have before, that we had to go through, or they had to go through some kind of priest, some kind of high priest, or some kind of religious leader to get to God, right? And those kind of, right? I want to talk about the message of the cross, okay? Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to pick up your cross daily, right? So daily's key in here, but here's the message of the cross. The message of the cross is this, a perfect submission to a perfect will. A perfect submission to a perfect will. Now look, if Jesus is willing to perfectly submit as a fully human entity, that part of him, right? If he's willing to fully submit to God, because God's will is perfect, if he's willing to do that, even to the point of death on a cross, why can't we? Why can't we? And why can't we daily, instead of just when it works out, or when I'm feeling it, or how many times you go to work and you ain't feeling it? Like for me, last week was Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and then there was Friday and yesterday. Yeah, pretty much all of them. Yeah, I'm not feeling it. I'm tired, right? But I get up and do it anyway. Why? I take my responsibility to provide for my family pretty serious. I want to make sure that they have as decent life as they can with the things that that job can provide. So I take that serious, right? And I know a perfect submission to get to a perfect will, to God's perfect will, sometimes you don't, we ain't feeling it. Sometimes, you know, I get in those seasons too where sometimes I just don't feel it. But let's go back to the wilderness, the road into wilderness and the river in the sand. You're in the middle of a desert, and all of a sudden a river appears. Wouldn't that be kind of nice? Hop in that thing, get you a little inner tube, a little floaty, you know, a little holder for your phone so you can still, you know, do that since you don't like change, you know, and that kind of stuff, right? And just float down that river, and your tuchus is all nice and cool because it's hanging down in the water. And when you're long-legged like me, your legs hang in the water. Tim's legs probably wouldn't hang in the water, but mine would, right? And did I say that? And it's all nice and refreshing, isn't it? When you're out there in the middle of the woods, who's been lost in the woods? That's being the timber, like Tom has, because Tom's not much of an outdoorsman, really. I mean, I'm a sports guy, but not an outdoorsman, like hunting, you know. So Tom doesn't have that I know where I am gene once he gets out in the middle of a bunch of trees, right? That just gets lost, right? Wouldn't it be nice if a road just happened to, hey, look at that. Well, I'm going to get in my Traverse, and I'm going to call somebody, and I'm going to use my hands-free option. It's a tough crowd, right? That's what God promises on a daily basis. And here's why we struggle to submit to that perfect submission to a perfect will on a daily basis, is because we don't understand. Understand, right? I never understood why I had to do algebra until I started doing refrigeration service work, and I'm going to tell you, you may not believe this, but you have to use some algebra in that refrigeration service work. Sometimes we just don't understand. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. You know this verse. Lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. My dad always told me when we were growing up, if you don't know how to do something, find somebody that knows how to do that, pay them their rate, and let them do it. Right? Because you don't understand how to do that. I tell people this all the time. You're not paying me for what I do. When you bring me out on a service call, you're paying me for what I know. Anybody can hook up a set of gauges to a machine, hook the yellow hose to a bottle, turn it upside down, turn it on, and charge it to that, if it's an air conditioner, charge it to that blue gauge. It says somewhere between 60 and 70 pounds. Grab hold of that line. It's good and cold. It's wet. You're good. Anybody can do that. But you got to know how to do it, right? So it's okay that we don't understand some stuff, but why do we get that way when it comes to God's will? Lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. God has something special for you today. God has something special for you tomorrow. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Let's cross that bridge and find out what it is. Paul says we don't have a spirit of timidity. He was talking to Timothy, but this applies to us too because the Holy Spirit lives in us too, right? And so we don't have a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. Let's use that. Let's use that to cross that bridge and get on to what God has for us. You will not be disappointed. You'll be challenged, you'll be tired, you might even get frustrated. It's not going to be near as easy as you think, but Scripture never promises easy, but it does promise fulfillment and excitement if we'll just cross that bridge. Do you normally stand up at this point? Okay, we'll have you stand up then. I wasn't asking you because you're on vacation. I don't know where you're at this morning. I know where I'm at this morning, but I don't know where you're at this morning. But a decision has to be made. We got to decide, do we believe the Scriptures to be true, unequivocally? And so if we believe the Scriptures to be true, then what are we going to do with these Scriptures that God presented for us today? What are we going to do with that? That's a decision that needs to be made. Perhaps your decision is, I've never really kind of got on that road. I just got saved, and then I just kind of go to church, and, you know, I help out at the bake sales when I can or the rummage sale, but, you know, so maybe I just need to get on a road. Maybe your decision, we'll back it up a little bit, maybe the decision is I haven't even explored the Lord Jesus as an option for my life. And maybe that decision this morning is, it's time to look into that. It's time to be prayed for about that, or it's time to make a decision for the Lord. Perhaps the decision is it's time to get on the road. Perhaps the decision is that I'm on the road, but I'm kind of tired and I need some strength. I don't feel that spirit of power. I feel more like the spirit of timidity, and so I'm not sure what to do with that. Maybe you need prayed for something that has absolutely nothing to do with this sermon. And that's okay too. But Pastor Tim, we're going to make him work now. Pastor Tim is going to come up. I'll be up here. You know, there are church leaders here that if you need prayer, come and get prayed for. If you need to make a decision, come and make a decision, right? But God says his word will not go out. Well, when it goes out, it will not return null and void, right? So that's partly up to us that it doesn't return null and void.